You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's about time one of us made it on that morning show draft. I don't think that either of us have ever been nominated. They go through, who do we want to hang out with? Who do we want to party with? Who do we want to do this and that with? They go through everybody else at ESPN Radio. I don't think you and I have ever gotten named before. There you go, though, Ian Fitzsimmons. Chris Canty, he wants to go to Hibachi with you.
Man, my man CC knows that I'm not afraid to get in a three-point stance and attack some food, and there is zero sensor from brain to mouth when I start eating. So we were at the, you know, we've done several NFL drafts together, and he's just a blast. And yeah, I've lived all over this country, from Birmingham, Alabama, to Park City, Utah, to Dallas, Texas, and in Connecticut for a while. So you acquire a few tales on your travels, to say the least. And so I honored CC that he would I'm his number one overall pick to go to a Hibachi with, and I promise you, man, we're getting the big flame and free shrimp. That's happening. Because, yeah. I guarantee that's happening. And then at some point, I might be thrown out of the joint for something that I possibly did, which would be entertaining for Chris Canty.
Well, you have to do, what, the onion volcano. You have to do the shrimp tails in the hat, all that stuff that they do in Hibachi.
Because I love my Blackstone, right? So, I'm the guy that would probably, try and take the spatulas from the chef and show him what I could do. Like, just
oh,
give me the tools. Let me go to work. Come on, man. You know how much I love to cook, right? So, yeah, there's a distinct possibility that I would actually get up in the middle of the meal, depending on my state of mind, and go, just give me the spatulas. Let me go to work.
Hibachi is one of my very favorite things. And
it's
not
awesome.
Just because of the fanfare around it and the spectacle that is Hibachi, but I mean just the food itself. I used
to live
right by a Hibachi restaurant that I could walk to. I used to get takeout from there all the time just because the actual food is so much cheaper, by the way, if you're not actually eating there. The actual food is so good with Hibachi.
Oh, yes.
I knew this really wealthy man who had a Hibachi, full-size Hibachi grill at his house. And I always thought, that's living. Like, that's when you make it.
That's one of those things, because you and I go off every now and then on these exits off the interstate, and where we the show just hit, and now we're already, you know, in the ditch, which I appreciate about you, because you're more than willing to go along for the ride, and God bless you, young lady. If I were to ever have that kind of bleep you money, just that disposable income, I have never thought about if I hit the Powerball tomorrow night or the Mega, mm-hmm. whichever one's tomorrow, and because you and I talk about that a lot, what would you do, right, if you ever hit the damn lottery? That is something I have never thought of, and now that is climbed into the top 10 of things that I will have in the house that nobody knows that I own. There will be a Hibachi, a full-on 12-seater, right? Like, all the way around Hibachi grill.
His was at least a 12. I mean, at least a 12-seater around
awesome.
It. His was outside, but under, it was like an outdoor kitchen Hibachi.
Yes!
And it was so insane. The outside of it was an ice ring. Like, the outside marble turned into ice, so you could put your drink down on it, and the drink stay cold. And then the inside huge part was a Hibachi grill, and he'd hire Hibachi chefs and have Hibachi parties. That is money, Ian Fitzsimmons. Bleep you money, but worth it. And I often think that, too. Like, what would I actually have in my house if I had unlimited funds? Now, I love Hibachi so much. My problem is I would need to hire the person to do the cooking, because I don't enjoy doing the cooking, but you love the cooking. So for you, it would make sense to spend the money on Hibachi grill.
Look, there's two things that I cannot stand to waste money on. One is paying somebody to cut my grass. One, I enjoy doing it, unless it's you're in the blast furnace of Dallas, Texas, for 30 straight days. At the end of that last summer, I finally went, this is so painful, but to hell with it. Because my neighbors both have someone who comes and cuts their grass.
Mm-hmm.
I caved, right? And I was angry at myself for caving twice in the summer. Right?
Only
I was
twice.
So angry.
I've never not had somebody else cut my grass.
I enjoy
never cut grass.
I hate
I don't
wasting
own a
money on paying somebody else to do my yard work, and I can't stand to go and get, just takeout. I like to cook. So I would not have a hibachi chef, but that what you just described, that's like Valhalla. That is my ultimate courtyard grill. And whomever that dude is that has that kind of cash that you ran into, that man is my hero, because I never would have dreamed one of having this conversation on air if it wasn't for Unsportsmanlike in the Morning with Chris Canty putting my big bloated butt up there in his top draft pick to go have a bocce, because again, I would probably get thrown out. I would probably try and cook.
That's
and
why he wants you to go with him.
Right, exactly. I'm just entertainment. I mean, that's all I am. I'm like tokens in a jukebox, right? Just go ahead and keep feeding fits, and the Lord knows what's going to happen. But that guy, I never would have dreamed to put a hibachi grill in a courtyard at my house, again, that no one knows that I own because I hit the Powerball. That is now climbed into immediately a top 10 pick. Done.
That was actually at his guest house, which was next door to his main house. It was something. It was something. A wonderful family. He passed away some years ago. Wonderful family. He was a billionaire with a B, and that is what it takes to have a full size hibachi grill at your guest house. Apparently, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So, putting on a show, the hibachi, also putting on a show, Caleb Williams. And so we keep talking about the Bears as if their decision comes down to Justin Fields or Caleb Williams, because we all assume, no matter who's picking at number one, frankly, that Caleb Williams is a lock. However, Dan Orlovsky maybe thinks otherwise. The ESPN football analyst was on Get Up and said if it was up to him, he'd be taking somebody else at number one.
I have not thought that Caleb Williams was a lock at number one because I thought Drake May would be the guy. I was wrong in that. Jaden Daniels should be the guy. If I were the Chicago Bears right now, I would take Jaden Daniels out of LSU. That is not a knock on Caleb Williams. That is a plus in Jaden Daniels. I think, number one, when you watch all these guys play, the best thrower, the best guy against man coverage, ball placement-wise, is Jaden Daniels. Number two, guys who have to throw the ball downfield, what does it look like? Jaden Daniels throws the ball best downfield. And then number three, who's got the best pocket piece? When I say piece, it's P-E-A-C-E. The patience and the peace within the pocket, he's the best at. Caleb Williams is fantastic. I think Jaden Daniels is better.
That's an interesting analysis to me, because actually that's not necessarily how I think of Jaden Daniels. But how do you feel about this?
Well, I mean, he's your any Heisman Trophy winner. He's a remarkable, and I do mean remarkable, talent. He can throw it to all three levels accurately, and he's come so far, Amber. We were there on ESPN Radio in his first game at LSU against Florida State, and he was awful until the fourth quarter, where he let them down to a potential game-tying drive, and then they missed an extra point, and then Florida State wins, literally in the final moment of the game. But he was awful. And I remember talking to Brian Kelly, head coach at LSU, later in that season when we had LSU again, and I got my hands about a foot apart. And he said, this was our playbook week one. And so then we shrunk it down, and now my hands are about 2 inches apart. And this is what he did really well in our offense. And then we started feeding him a little bit more every single week. And now my hands are going out back to that foot. That's where he was. He had the full reign of the offense by the end of the year. And then you saw what he did last year. I mean, he has improved every single year he's played. That's what you want to see. So I understand what Orlovsky's saying. He's a remarkable athlete, meaning he can tote it. His accuracy is phenomenal, as good as anybody in this draft. My only concern with Daniels is he takes the big hit. And when I say big hit, I mean vicious hits, ones that he can avoid. Like, you don't go toe-to-toe with Jared Verse at Florida State, right? Where we saw them, week one this year again down in Orlando. You don't do that. I mean, you're going to get your spine snapped, right? So that's he has to protect himself more. But, it's all in the eye of the beholder, Amber, also. I mean, if you like Caleb Williams because he's bigger and he's also equally as accurate, and he's a remarkable athlete also. He's just more of a pocket guy, but he can tote it. Then you take Caleb Williams. I mean, if Orlovsky were the GM of the Bears, he's taking Jaden Daniels. If it was, Tim Hasselbeck, he'd take Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he's talked about how he believes May is the best quarterback in this draft. So it all comes down to, who do you believe in your eval and all your scouts, who the best guy is, and it all comes down to the eye of the beholder, right? And that's it. And for Adano, and he makes a good point, he would take Daniels. But to me, He's a little He's thinner than Caleb and Drake May, and he's got to learn you don't have to fight that extra yard, especially at this level.
Yeah, he's a human highlight reel, but the question with Daniels has been, how is he going to fit in a more traditional offense there in the NFL, or if he can't get away with some of the crazy stuff that we were able to see him do in college? And some of his best throws were simple throws straight down the field where there was receivers wide open that were helping him with yards after catch. So there was a lot of that as well during his time at LSU. But it is possible, and I don't feel like we talk about this enough, it is possible that all three of these guys end up being good NFL quarterbacks. Yep. I know that would be shocking, but it's possible. Or two of the three. I mean, it's not like just one of them has to end up working out. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, LeBron James is still doing it as he approaches 40 years old. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What are you eating, LeBron? What are you doing? Tell the rest of us that are in our 40s, because we do not understand how, at 39 years old, he outscored the Clippers single-handedly in the fourth quarter to push the Lakers back from a 21-point deficit last night. LeBron James is still very much every bit of LeBron James as he's in his final year of his 30s, Ian. And it is insane. That was the fourth largest comeback win entering the fourth quarter in Lakers history. And it's just remarkable that we're still seeing it from that man at that level.
Yeah. I mean, when you outscore an entire team in the fourth quarter to lead a 21-point, you know, come back. That's at 39. It doesn't happen. You and I were talking in our pre-show, Amber, and I really mean this, and I hope when you're listening, take this to heart, because when Tiger Woods was in his prime in the late 90s, early 2000s, I really did not truly appreciate what I was watching. And then when, obviously, you know, he had all the surgeries, and his back started to give out, the knee surgery and everything else, that's when I kind of sat there and went, man, I really missed something in the moment. I missed arguably the greatest to ever do it. You know, I mean, you have that Tiger and Jack conversation. Jack has more majors, right? But I think Tiger had a bigger impact on the game. And I was mad at myself because I didn't truly appreciate this remarkable being that was doing something we hadn't seen in forever. You know, the Tiger Slam, all that stuff. So with LeBron, I hope that you are truly appreciating what this guy is doing at the age of 39 and what he's done throughout his entire 21-year career. I mean, Amber, it damn near leaves you speechless. So whether it's Tiger, whether it was Jack, whether it was Jordan, whether it's LeBron or Tom Brady, like Patrick Mahomes right now, I don't care if you hate the Chiefs or love the Chiefs. Just embrace what this dude is doing, because it doesn't come around that often. And that's what LeBron is showing us right now. At 39 years of age, I mean, are you kidding me? We have never seen anything like this. At 39, Jordan had hung up his high tops, right? And I don't want to get into a damn LeBron-Jordan debate, but
longevity factors into it, though. Yeah, it certainly factors in on the favorable side of LeBron.
We have never seen this before. It's remarkable. It really is.
It's truly remarkable to witness. I saw a tweet today from somebody who said, when I was 12 years old, LeBron James was one of the very best players in the NBA. I'm 32 years old. LeBron James is one of the very best players in the NBA. And when I first read it, I'm like, that can't be right. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
Let's do some math.
This dude has actually watched LeBron from 12 to 32, and we're still very squarely in the LeBron James experience. That's insane to think. And I think when you grow up, quite literally, like these kids have and these adults have that are a little bit slightly younger than you and I, when you grow up watching LeBron James, I do think sometimes it's almost easy to take it for granted. It's sort of that epiphany that you had going through the Tiger Woods era of not taking a moment for granted. And frankly, you probably thought that one was going to last a lot longer than it did, because the career ends up declining before a lot of us maybe expected it to decline because of the stuff that happened there off the course. But with LeBron, it's been going on for so long, and we've seen it for so long, that I think if you're growing up with it, like, you almost start taking it, like, it's impossible not to take it for granted, because you're just used to it now. Now you're immune to it. We've been seeing it for 21 years, this dude's been doing this. He just won his 952nd career game last night with that come-from-behind win. That makes it, that's the fifth most in NBA history. He's tied with Karl Malone. He's one shy of tying John Stockton for the fourth most. He'll end up winning the most games in NBA history. It's remarkable, LeBron James's entire career, the longevity of it, the stardom of it, because he came into the league this famous.
He was selling out the Schottenstein Center in Columbus, Ohio. I was doing a show with Kirk Herbstreit back then in Columbus, and you know, obviously he went to St. Vincent's in Akron, right outside Cleveland, and he came down as a senior in high school. Ohio State basketball wasn't selling out back then because they just run wrongly Jim O'Brien, the then head coach at Ohio State. They ran him out of town, which was ridiculous. Don't get me started on that one. But that the shot had not been sold out for a while. A high school phenom named LeBron James sold the damn building out. You couldn't get in. I mean, it was star-studded as a high school player, to your point. That's how long he's been in the limelight.
Right. He really has. I mean, he's been in the limelight since basically middle school, since early high school. It's really insane that he has been able to keep up with it and exceed the expectations when the expectations for him were so sky high. And we've seen other people obviously have long, incredible careers in the NBA, but typically there is a build up to it. There was no build up to LeBron. He just arrived on the scene, LeBron James. And we all had to take notice from the day that he stepped foot on an NBA basketball court. And he is still at 39 years old, making sure that we take notice. And I don't know when this thing ends, frankly, and we all wait for it. I don't think we're doing it in a negative way. I think we're doing it almost in awe, though. It's like the Tom Brady experience, where we're not trying to end their careers, but we're also looking at it like it's got to at some point, right? You know, I don't know if it almost makes us feel more human or what, this idea that, no, age comes for everyone. That's the one thing that comes for everyone is mother time.
You know,
yet here it's somehow not coming for him yet.
There's only three athletes that I can think of off the top of my head that kicked father time, mother time, right in the teeth, right? And then in the junk in the ovaries. And that is Nolan Ryan, Tom Brady, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just different. I mean, you can't recreate that greatness. And I'm sure there's a couple others. If you know people listening right now, you can go to the phones, and there are a few others, handful. But you're talking about great, the best of the best. I mean, they just looked at Father Time and went, "Sorry, Bubba, you're not taking me down. Not yet. It's not my time." And LeBron, I mean, what is he in the top 15 in scoring right now? I mean, he's got to be close to it. I mean, at 39 years of age, yeah, he's 15th. He's averaging 25 a game right now at 39.
Crazy.
He's had 40 plus points in a game 75 times. I mean, Amber, I don't know if we'll see a run like this at that age ever again. So going back to my point earlier, embrace what you're watching right now, because you may never see it again.
And I've heard Tristan Thompson talk about LeBron James's diet. I've heard some of his other teammates joke about it. Like, he's not Tom Brady. He's not out here with the avocado ice cream and, you know, he's never had a strawberry in his life or a tomato or whatever it is because it causes inflammation. Like, Tom is so strict and so no. Now, LeBron does spend $1 million on his body, reportedly, a year as part of his training regimen.
Money well spent.
Obviously money well spent. But it's not necessarily the entire brand around it that Tom Brady has created. It will be interesting, though, to see where this thing goes. I mean, just the wear and tear you would think that he would be experiencing at 39, and clearly not, because bringing his team back from a 21-point deficit, putting that team on his back alone, leading them to victory, it's still very squarely within the LeBron James arsenal. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, what's been clicking for the Miami Heat as they've won 5 straight? That's next on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It is go time for Jimmy Butler and my Miami Heat. They look like they are coming together, true to form, like always, late in the season here in the NBA. Let's bring in someone from the call of that game, Mark Kestisher, NBA on ESPN Radio. Kesty, thanks for joining us. You're a very busy man because you've got the Nuggets Heat game tonight. You've got Nuggets Lakers Saturday night right here on ESPN Radio. That game tips off at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on ESPN Radio on Sunday, we are going to have the Sixers and Mavericks at 12:30 coverage starting here. Did you elect not to do that game because you're sick of Ian Fitzsimmons, Kesty?
You know, I didn't get a good choice. That's a great point, Amber, because we have the two games. And my partner, PJ Carlissimo, is going to Dallas. He's not coming to L.A. with me, so that begs the question. Am I staying away from Fitzy?
There's
I don't
no
think
doubt.
So. He'd be taking care of me. If I had 2 days off in Dallas, we could do some damage.
There'd be golf being played and food being consumed. lots of both, to say the least. Let's be honest, though. You're going to L.A. after tonight, and we'll get into Heat and Nuggets in just a second. But the number one reason, Amber, I guarantee you, he had a choice, L.A. or Dallas. And Kesty went, you know what? Randy's Donuts. Hold on a second. That apple fritter at Randy's Donuts. Yeah, I'll do L.A. I'm going to L.A. Am I wrong?
Fitzy knows LeBron may spend $1 million on his body. Fitzy has seen my body. There's no money spent except for a $2 apple fritter from Randy's. You are correct.
It's working out well for both of you, though. You know, LeBron's bringing his team back from 21-point deficits. You're on the call tonight for the key game with the Nuggets. So, you know, it's working out for both of you guys. I want to talk to you about my Miami Heat because, Kesty, this is the time of year where it feels like the Heat actually start playing real basketball and Jimmy Butler starts to maybe care when he's not being suspended. What do you think is maybe clicking for this team now as we head down the stretch?
Yeah, it's a great question because I'd like to say they're whole, but they're not. I mean, Tyler Hero is not supposed to play tonight. Kevin Love apparently is out tonight. Josh Richardson is still out. But I think defense is the one, the thumbprint you see in the month of February. They have held just about everybody under 110 this month. I think they're allowing about 101.5. They're getting great contributions from Jimmy Butler. Consistent contributions from Bam Adebayo. We'll see what Terry Rozier, who really, you know, has not had the same effect we anticipated when he was coming over. So it's the typical Miami team effort. They get it done. I'm afraid to ask Eric Spoelstra tonight, you know, down another three guys, how are you going to get it done? Because they'll just say, we got enough. It's only 5-on-5. We got enough. It's enough to win. They beat Sacramento in Sacramento without six guys with all the suspension. So, you know, I hate to just chalk it up to it's their time of year and they're about to make a run. But here they are, five straight wins in the midst of a road-heavy February. If they win tonight, and it's a tall task at the defending champs, either way, win or lose, been a great road trip, and you head home sitting fifth or sixth in the Eastern Conference.
Kesty, I think Eric Spoelstra is arguably the most underrated head coach in all of professional sports. Why doesn't he get more just due for what he's been able to do in a very long run as the head coach of the Heat?
I think Fitzy had started out, you know, where he didn't have the head coaching experience and he had this great team they took over, great potential, you know, with Wade and Bosch and James, and they win those titles and you're more apt to give credit to LeBron. And you're right. I mean, you look at this team that's been to three of the last four Eastern Conference Finals. They were in the bubble championship that they lost to the Lakers. They were in the championship series against Denver last year. I mean, the sports writers who got him one of the 15 greatest coaches got it right. And the Heat themselves, who just gave him a $120 million 8-year contract extension, got it right. So you're right. He may be under the radar, you know, for the average fan, but everyone else has recognized what he's done. And it's amazing to watch because he's a terrific guy to cover. I mean, we've had nothing but a great relationship with him, you know, since he became a head coach. So he doesn't seem to have changed, but the expectations he has for the players and the expectations to uphold what, you know, Pat Riley set up in Miami for Heat culture has been consistent and hasn't wavered an iota, and that's impressive.
Yeah, Spo was always great to local media in Miami as well. Mark Hestischer, NBA on ESPN Radio, joining us here on Amber and Ian. This is the first meeting between these two since the 2023 NBA Finals. But what does Jokic need to do to take home another MVP this season, Kesty?
I think he's right on pace. You know, he's their leading scorer, rebounder, assist man again. You ask any player, and I'd say 9 out of 10 on opposing teams, who's the toughest guy to guard, and it comes back to a guy when you just look at him and you watch him up close, or maybe you watch him on television, you know, doesn't seem like the most athletic superstar, and yet he can score from all three levels. If you want to throw two bodies at him, he's got like 7 eyes wrapped around his head and he'll find a pass to an open guy. He's really just an from a number, whatever he was, 41 pick, second round Taco Bell commercial going on while he got drafted, to what he's become today. He does have some stiff challengers, though. I think, you know, Luka's making a serious challenge. Nobody talks about Shea Gilgeous-Alexander because they play on a team nobody knows about in Oklahoma City that's having one of the best years in the NBA this year. And then the best team in the NBA, Boston. I don't know if Jason Tatum's getting enough love. But if it ended right now, today, and I assume I'll have another MVP vote. I haven't been told that yet. I think right now Jokic is my leader in the clubhouse to win it for the third time in 4 years.
When you guys sit down with him, does it look like he's breathing heavy just sitting there across from you? And then you look up and he goes for 38 minutes and another triple-double?
I wish. I mean, that's the thing. When he does come in, it's like, you know what? He is really well put together and is very finely conditioned. But the thing that drives you crazy from an interviewer standpoint is, and you've got to love it if you're his teammate or if he plays for you and or in your city, he doesn't want any credit. It almost looks like he hates basketball. I mean, he never wants to talk about himself, how he got here, this team that's built around him, and a chance, you know, to win multiple championships. It's all about the other guys and really not wanting to do the interviews at all. But you're right. It's a point well taken when you just wish that he had, you know, he was sweating profusely and was, you know, eating a triple-decker sandwich while he was doing the interview with you.
Have you ever tried asking him about his horses, you know, like switching up the subject outside of basketball?
You know, might have to go that route. I'm thinking horses, and I'll bring in Fitzy for more information on that because I know he's got all the Serbian horses down pat. And his daughter, I mean, loves his family. So you want to get him off to a good start, you go in that direction.
Yeah, we had a good day at the fairgrounds today, as a matter of fact, Kesty. So, yeah, I can talk some ponies with you all day long, give you a few tips. How rare is what you're describing, by the way? Because in this day and age, superstars are all about the man in the mirror and their teammates, but he's the complete opposite. In all your travels, whether it's college football, NFL, NBA, how rare is what you just described when it comes to Jokic?
Incredibly rare. I mean, there are guys, and especially in the NBA, I know it may sound counterintuitive because the NBA is a league where, yes, there's 30 teams, but it's a league of superstars, and we market the superstars. And the superstars in this league, at least, you know, in my interpretation of 20-plus years of covering them, is, you know, they're really easy to work with. They're great guys, well thought out, but it is a lot about brands, and it is a lot about, you know, positioning yourself, you know, looking at the next move or whatever. And I can't think in any other sport that I've covered a person who wanted to talk less about himself and his accomplishments than Nikola Jokic. It's really amazing. I'd like to think that when the camera lights go off and the radio microphones are turned off, that he's just reading all his clippings and telling his wife, see what they say about me? I am the greatest of all time. But I have a sense that's not happening. He'd rather be doing Serbian karaoke and be out watching his horses run.
Joel Embiid, hey, Mark Kestis, your voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio, joining us. We got Heat and Nuggets tonight coming up right after Amber and I here on ESPN Radio. Embiid says, you know what, if I'm good and I feel good come April, I'm playing. I don't care where we are in the standings. I'm getting back out there. And to me, Kesty, that's a remarkable, you know, just point of his character, right, as to how much this guy cares about the game of basketball and his team. When you saw him saying that earlier today, what was your reaction about Embiid saying, you know what, I don't care if we're out of it, I'm playing?
Yeah, you know what really stood out to me was when he made the point. He says, we only have, if we're lucky, 20 years to do this. Like, he sees the mortality of his career. And you know what? For all the injuries he's had early in his career and even now, you know, maybe 20 years isn't, you know, going to be what his deal is. You know, he may be lucky to get 15 years in the league and to be on a good team and, you know, to develop a guy like Tyrese Maxey, you know, in Philadelphia, and to think they're in the thick of this race before he got hurt, had the procedure, and went down. So I don't blame him one bit. And to me, the one thing, you know, that has been an issue in the playoffs is he seems to run out of gas. And I know he's gotten better at conditioning, you know, the last couple of years, but maybe being off for this amount gives him a full tank. The only other secondary question that comes up with that is, when can he get back? How soon can they get into a rhythm? And where will they be when he gets back? I mean, there's this huge logjam from fourth to eighth place that is only two games separating. So Philly could be in a play-in situation where it's one and done, or if they're fortunate in the 7-8 game to have a second opportunity. So I give him all credit in the world. I hope he rehabs fast. I hope he can get back. You know, he's a terrific ball player, and the Sixers aren't the same without him, that's for sure.
We just shot P.J. Carlissimo a text. We have a 1:10 tee time at Dallas Country Club on Saturday. Sorry, Kesty. You went to L.A. We're playing DCC. See you, buddy. Take care. Have a great call.
Is Sean Kelly playing with you guys, too?
Oh, come on, man. Absolutely. He's in. SK? Absolutely.
Now, right, well, you know what?
Enjoy that apple fritter.
I will take a picture of a 2-foot-long apple fritter bigger than your head, and I'll be enjoying that.
Have a great call, Kesty.
Thanks, Kesty.
All right. Talk to you soon. You got it.
So tune in to NBA action tonight for the Nuggets hosting the Heat. That is presented by Indeed. Coverage will begin right here. We were hopping off air a little bit early. So coverage is beginning right here at 9:30 p.m. Eastern with Kesty on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, how confident is Joel Embiid that he'll be back on the court before the regular season is over? You just heard Ian and Kesty talking about it. We'll get into it next on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We heard from the Philadelphia 76ers superstar, Joel Embiid, for the first time since he suffered that knee injury, which was just about a month ago now. We heard from him, and apparently we heard his hopes of still returning this season. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance at Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. So Joel Embiid, he was behind a microphone, Ian, and he probably made Philadelphia fans very happy. Take a listen.
That's the plan. Obviously, everything has to go right. You know, as far as getting healthy and as close as I'm supposed to be. But yeah, that's the plan.
What's the timeline if everything goes right?
I mean, there's really no timeline. You know, it all depends on, you can never tell how the body reacts, especially once you start ramping up. So, I mean, it all depends on how it feels, and if it feels great, then that's good. And if it doesn't feel like it's right, then you got to keep going.
So there's no timeline, but he wants to return.
Love it.
Before the end of whatever this season is, wherever it ends for the 76ers.
All right. I'm curious to see if you agree or disagree with what I'm about to say. Because without Embiid, they're 4-11 since he got hurt. 4-11. You know, and they've lost, what, 4 of their last 5 also. Miami, New York, got a W against Cleveland somehow, and then got boat raced by Milwaukee and Boston. If they are still in the playoffs, or even in a playoff hunt, and you get Embiid back, and there's no way he re-injures that knee. I mean, you're talking like, when you're talking to the team docs, you're going, hey, is he 100%? Not 98, not 97, is he 100%? They're like, yeah, that particular injury, I mean, because he's been injury prone, but that knee is sound. He's good. And Embiid, he hears that. You heard his tone of voice there. He's coming back. Do you believe with Embiid, and he has enough of a window, maybe 6 to 8 games with the playoffs on the horizon, do you give the Sixers a shot to at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals with Joel Embiid?
Do I give them a shot? No. But that has nothing to do with Joel Embiid's knee injury, frankly, because if you're telling me he's 100% and that there is no chance he's re-injuring that thing, if he's good to go, he's good to go, right? He's the reigning MVP. You don't keep him off the basketball court under, frankly, any circumstances if he's able to do his job and play basketball, right? But certainly if they are in a postseason or in postseason contention. So it stands to reason that, yeah, you bring him back if you think he's fully healthy. Why the heck wouldn't you? Give it a go. I don't even know if I believe the Philadelphia 76ers can make an Eastern Conference Finals with a Joel Embiid that never suffered the knee injury. So now you're asking me to take that leap with a Joel Embiid who's in this hypo coming back in a postseason and not until then. It won't necessarily be the injury itself. It will be also the rust on the reigning MVP. And before he was injured, he was on pace to average more points than minutes played when he got hurt. He was having an unbelievable season.
Yep.
He was going to win another MVP if he kept it up. But of course, the story of Joel Embiid's career in part, Ian, has been missing time and has been injuries. The other story of Joel Embiid's career has been disappointing in the postseason. And that's the reality of the situation. And I'm not even trying to drink the haterade as a Heat fan, although it's fun when it comes to Philadelphia. The reality is that they normally don't produce like they're supposed to in the postseason when he's healthy. So now if he's not coming back and he's going to be rusty until the very end, it's hard for me to believe that the results will be different.
I would say with Embiid and no Doc Rivers as a head coach, that I would give him a puncher's chance. Just because he was that dominant and he was that good. I mean, they were 29-14 when he got hurt. As I mentioned, they've lost, you know, what are they, 4-11 since the injury, and now holding the sixth spot at 33-25. They are a below average basketball team right now.
Right.
But with him, they can run with anybody. Now, to your point, he would have to have a ramp up. You know, he'd have to have around 8 to 10 games. You know, minimum 6, but probably 8 to 10. just to get, you know, look, you can do all the work on the bike. You can run all the sprints you want, right? I mean, you can do all the up-downs you want, run all the stadiums you want. But it's like there's basketball shape and there's cardio, right? There's football conditioning and there's cardio. So he would have to have, to your point, a window to be able to come back and ramp back up and get into basketball shape. But I'm not going to put anything back past that guy because it sounds like, and just listening to his tone of voice, if you are just tuning in, he wants to go back out there. He even said, I don't care if we're tanking. If I'm cleared and the doctors say I'm good to go and I can't hurt that knee again, he wants to go back out there. And I have immense respect for a guy like that because I would say 9 of 10 superstars of his level, MVP-type level, would say to hell with it, we got no shot, I'm shutting it down.
Well, and here's the other factor, too. Because they're very mediocre at best without Joel Embiid, which, listen, if you're missing your reigning MVP and one of the very best players in the league, then it's going to be hard to stay afloat. We knew that the second that he went down with the knee injury. But if they continue on this pace and he can't come back until the end of the season or towards a postseason, they're not going to have a very good seeding either. So you also have to think about the competition perspective of this. Are they in a play-in type scenario by the end of the season? Or even if they're very squarely in the playoffs, right now they're sitting at sixth in the Eastern Conference. Even if they're in the regular playoffs, who are you pitted up against then? Who do you have to get through, right? You've lost
matchups
your footing
crucial,
as a top
no doubt,
seed.
No doubt.
And so that also factors in and is also why I'm doubtful that they'd be able to get it done as a team. So it's a lot of those factors. And then the history is not on Joel Embiid's side here. Now, again, that's not a reason for Joel Embiid not to come back. Because I do think that if he is fully healthy, then sure. Why bother to mail it in this season? If you have Joel Embiid out there, even if I don't believe in it, because I've seen the Sixers fail with him over and over again, if you have Joel Embiid out there, we all agree that he's obviously one of the very best players in the NBA, you clearly have a chance. So why not take the chance? If he's healthy, you take the chance,
yeah,
even if he's going to be rusty.
In a heartbeat. But like I said, a lot of guys wouldn't even try. You know, if your team is – if you're in the play-in tournament, you know – most guys at his elk, his level, right, would be like, no,
nah,
I'm good, I'm out. This dude is going, no. If I'm cleared, I'm back out there with my boys. And, again, immense respect and beyond a tip of the cap. Man, that's a bow down to going, you know what, Embiid? You just love the game, you love your teammates, and I love the fact that he's willing to come back.
It's refreshing to hear an NBA player want to play basketball. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Like, we're talking about a dude who's going to have to work his way all the way back from a serious injury, and he's going to come in for the tail end of things if he does, and the odds are all going to be stacked against him, and he still wants to get out there. So that's a lot to say in this landscape of the NBA. Coming up next, are the Raiders the team most likely to trade into the top three of the NFL draft?